Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word is alive. It's full of power. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is the discerner, the seer into of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God, we ask you to help us, teach us, lead us, guide us, bring us into all truth, cause us to understand and comprehend what your word says so we can get it for every part of our lives. Satan, I'll remind you for the second time, you have no right on this property or in the lives of these people. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I take authority over you. And I call you cursed in Jesus' name. And you will not steal this word. It will go into the hearts of God's people. You're on your way to the lake of fire. And you will be there forever. There is no remedy. There's no salvation for you. So I torment you with your future as you try to torment us with our past. And I cancel your assignment on every one of them. You will not steal this word. It's going into good ground to bring forth great fruit in abundance. And we'll give God the glory for it. In Jesus' name, we call it done. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I even have what the Word of God says that I have. I can do what the Word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's Word on purpose. But I'm not just a hearer. I'm also a doer of God's Word. And because I'm a doer, I'm not just a hearer of the Word of God. My life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen. Praise God. Go ahead and be seated. Do you call it done? I call it done. I just ended right there. It's done. Got sort of an attitude, don't I? We've been studying. This is the last session we'll be able to have. I was to deliver this for first quarter of this year, how to receive in 2026. We have taken 3 months to receive this with a few breaks. And I've been giving you formulas and equations, different things that you can do to be able to have your 2026 like never before. This is a year of acceleration. God gives us a banner at this church every year. We go into prayer, sometimes prayer and fasting, to be able to hear from God about what the next year is for the whole congregation. The Lord is Jehovah Nisi. He is our banner. Banner over us this year is the year of acceleration. Now, that's a positive thing. There's not going to be acceleration of problems, but acceleration of blessings. So we have gone through the process here of studying some things that helps us with this particular area, and we've been stuck on and trying to complete three things that we have learned so far about this area, and we want to be able to go forward and finish them off. The three things that we have been, and you might want to write these down if you haven't already, the three things that we're learning to be able to do to make this year wonderful is to please God. If we please God, you will be pleased. And it's amazing to me because the Bible, and we're going to study the third area is faith, but we're going to study about faith and understand it. And I'm going to teach about faith, help you to understand this. If faith pleases God, why not please God? Because the way I look at it, usually you got to use faith for something you want anyhow. So if you're going to use faith for something you need anyhow, maybe it's healing, maybe it's even material things. I mean, maybe it's a change in some situation in your life. Having faith for that to change through the Word of God pleases God. So why not please God and get what you're looking for? To me, it's a no-brainer. So if faith, according to Hebrews 11:6, pleases God, then we should do what pleases God instead of our pleasure of ourselves. Because I don't know if you've checked this out or not, just go a few days, well, go a couple of weeks maybe, without taking a shower. Flesh stinks. Flesh stinks bad. It stinks bad. It just on its own just gets dirty and nasty. And you start avoiding people. And see, this is what happens when people live in the flesh. They start avoiding people because they know their life stinks. Not just physically. They stink when they come around Christians. My wife said, I said, girl, you look good this morning. We was walking out the door. She said, I said, girl, you look good this morning. She said, well, I've got to look good because I know I'm the fragrance of God. I said, well, then shoot some Chanel number 5 to you, girl. But it's in the Word. She said, it's in the Word. I was reading it this morning in Corinthians where I'm the fragrance of God. See, and we do give off a fragrance. And to the ones that are unsaved, it's a smell of death. But to the other believers, you can smell that Christian life, and it smells great. So the first thing we need to do is please God. And I put it this way God put it in my heart. If we're going to have a great 2026, please God, or we're going to be saying, please God. Who wants to be pleading like that? I don't want to live a life where I'm pleading and always apologizing to God. I want to just please God, and I won't be saying, please God, help me, please. Because you're going to say please God either way. You're going to please God one way or another, or you're going to need God to please help you. Second thing I gave to you is that we have to learn obedience. We found out that Jesus, he was obedient over the things he suffered. Hebrews 5 and 8, he was obedient, which means he could have been disobedient. So he wasn't playing when he sat in the Garden of Gethsemane right before he came into town, which we're about to look at, on a donkey. When he said, can this cup pass? He could have been disobedient, and you would still be in your sins, and I would be on my way to hell as well. Not a good place to be. But Jesus learned obedience. And see, we have to learn obedience. Part of the reason why we don't like to learn obedience is because of pride. We think we're all that, and you can't tell me what to do. Yeah, well, that's what a lot of people sitting in hell are saying right now. Well, in Hades, you can't tell me what to do. A lot of people that end their lives early, their lives end early is because you can't tell me what to do. And that's true. I can't tell you what to do. And really, God can't even tell you what to do. And he doesn't really try to make you do things. He tries to convince you or to entice you toward good things. Say amen to that. So we need to learn obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Now, we learned also that what goes along with obedience is being willing. I didn't say be Willie. I had an aunt named Willie. That's not who I'm talking about. I said willing. Be willing and obedient. In fact, let's go to Isaiah 1 and 18 and 19. This is important because sometimes we do things with an unwilling heart. And here's the thing about it. God reads the heart. He didn't read the face. Preachers read faces. Got to admit it. Preachers will look at your face and sometimes start preaching harder. Or they'll look at your face and they'll enjoy the service. Oh, they look at you and look and say, you need Jesus. But it says, if you are, I like to say you are what you are when you is that. Ebonically speaking, you are what you are. See, are is, this is existence. If you are willing and obedient, not I will be willing and obedient, not I used to be willing and obedient. If you are two things, not just obedient, but willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Put that in the Amplified. Let's look at that. See what it says in the Amplified. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the best of the land. Let's look at the, let's say the NIV. Can you go to the NIV? Let's go to NIV and see what it says there. If you are willing and obedient. Okay, can you find that one? Okay. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. Now, I don't believe it just means eat. I believe it means we will consume, we will have, we will possess, we'll enjoy the best the land has to offer. Who doesn't want that? I mean, who wants, be digging in the garbage? Nobody wants to do that. Nobody likes that. Who wants rotten food? Anybody want rotten food? You're supposed to have the best the land to offer. This has to become a lifestyle. This is the reason why I don't accept second best. God gives us the best, and that's why I want the best car. I got the best wife. I got the best family. Come on now. Hello? Come on now. Ain't nobody competing. It's just that mine's better than yours. But anyhow, I ain't supposed to say that. She'll talk to me after service. She gets me straight. Yeah. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good things of the land. What's some good things? I don't want to have to be the person that got to go there and push my car to get it started. When we started this church, I was. Because I had lived in a life of disobedience. I stayed away from the ministry for 10 years because I wanted to be in the radio and television broadcasting, which I was in, and I wanted to own my seven stations and seven television or radio stations and six television or radio. They give you 13 total that you could own at the time. I had already bought one, and I wanted to be the rest of my radio stations. I wanted to be a businessman with radio because I was in radio and television. I didn't want to preach the gospel. You're looking at a real live Jonah. And when I ended up in the belly of the fish, and he vomited me out at Point Defiance, right there by the restaurants, I ran all the way to 3211 12th Street East, Tacoma, Washington, 98446, and started this church. Some of that's not true, but it's close. But it helps you to understand the story. I just want to make sure you understand the story. I wasn't always Pastor Shada. I didn't want to be a pastor. I was a radio announcer with a different name. I was a television host, Emmy Award winning, with a different name that I used. And I didn't really want to do this. And you may not want to do what you want to do, but what God wants you to do. But you need to do it. You need to be willing. I wasn't willing. I'm fessing up to you all. You're looking at me crazy. You're the one still sitting there not being willing. Okay, for some of you. I know. You got the jackass. I mean, the donkey spirit. You know what I'm talking about. You got that about you. If Jesus was riding you, we would still be waiting for you to get into town. Because it's hard to get you to do what God would have you to do. And you sit there with the old smug face. You know what I'm talking about. Going, Stop thinking, start doing. So if you're willing and obedient, you get the best the land has to offer. That's why I don't apologize for being blessed. Because I'm willing and obedient. God, what would you have me to do? I go to prayer. God tells me what to do. I time it, date it, write it down, and then I do it. That's it. Third thing, which is what we're on, is we need to be able to have faith. We need to be able to be in faith. Say faith. Now, we're going to study this about having faith in God. We have faith. The question is, where is it? You have faith. You do have faith. Believe me, I've been in aviation for now 24 years. And if you're flying aircraft anywhere as a passenger, you have faith. You just don't know you have faith. In between those peanuts, you got to have faith. Because there's so many things that need to go right for you to get there. And especially if you're flying right now, if you can get into the airport. It takes faith just to get the ticket. It takes faith to be able to get to the counter. Forget your seat. By the time you get to the seat, it's gone. It's pretty bad. So you've got to use some faith right now if you want to do some traveling, okay? But we're praying that that's changing in Jesus' name, okay? The other donkeys in Congress are going to work on it. Okay, here we go. Don't tell them I said that. Here's what it says. Go with me to Let's go to Mark chapter 11, verse number 1. Let's just go there. Now, I'm going to read this so you can understand it. I'm going to throw out these thous and all that kind of stuff. I'm just going to read this in a very contemporary way of hearing it, okay? This is about Jesus coming in during this time of course, preparing for the Passover, the Holy Week. He's coming in on his Cadillac, his new Cadillac. It's not an Escalade, it's a smaller one. You know, they got the small Cadillacs. He's riding in on that. It's never been used before. Got the good new car smell. And here he's coming, okay? Now, this is what happened this whole week. We got to get this. Now, I'll go into more detail probably on Friday night and help us to understand more concerning the Passover and all of the stuff about the unleavened bread and all that kind of stuff and the little holes in unleavened bread. Why does it have holes in it? And all that kind of stuff that we're going to need to know about this time of the year. But it says, when they were nearing, I'm reading out of a different translation, when they were nearing Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany on Mount Olives, he sent off two of his disciples with instructions. Go into the village across from you, and as you enter, you'll find a colt tethered there, One that has never yet been ridden. Underline that in your mind. It says there's something a little different there. You need to get used to new things. Oh, gosh. Stop looking for everybody's perspiration-stained clothing for you. Going to the used store, going to the, you know what I'm talking about, going to the consignment. Your God's going to have a new outfit when you head up to heaven anyhow. He ain't trusting what you're wearing. Even if your thing is a three-piece suit or if it's holy jeans, whatever. He's not going to let you come up there with them short shorts. You get saved, he's got a whole nother outfit. It's be brand new. I'm trying to emphasize brand new because I want to get us, because a lot of Christians think we're supposed to suffer in everything. We're supposed to be the doormat of the world. It's not true. We're to serve the Lord, and the Lord directs us on what we, you know, and people like, for example, you're supposed to give to me because you're a Christian. I don't have to give to you unless God tells me to. You stay broke. You're probably not tithing and giving anyhow, so I don't owe you nothing. In fact, if I was giving to you, I'd be countering the word of God because you're cursed with a curse. Okay, I'm getting too deep. Let me go back over here. Go into the village across from you. As soon as you enter, you'll find a colt tethered, one that has never yet been ridden. Untie it. Say untie it. Or in your translation probably says loose it. And bring it. And if anyone asks, what are you doing? Say the master needs him, or the master, as it says in your Bible, has need of it or him. And then you will return him right away. You'll return him right away. But he needs it. Now watch this. There are some things that you have that God wants to use. He wants to use your mind. He wants to use your body. Sometimes he wants to use your car to get somebody to church. He wants to use your words to speak to people, encourage them about the things of God. He'll use it, but he'll give it back to you. God doesn't keep stuff from you. And that's what people think. Well, if I come to the Lord, I'm going to have to give up all my fun. You ain't having fun anyhow. You're really not. You're going to find that wasn't fun. You're going to pay a price for that. Okay, that like they used to say years ago, that's going smart. You're gonna remember you did that. So we think that God wants to take from us, but he just wants to borrow. He borrowed a boat in Luke chapter 5 and preached the gospel and healed people and helped people. God wants to use you. Well, I don't know what God wants to use. Well, that's why God prospered you so much. That's why he gave you all those businesses. That's the reason why he gave you those degrees. That's the reason why he helps you. That's the reason why he healed you. That's why he delivered you. That's why your marriage is still together. God wants to use that marriage as an example. They went and found the coat tied to a door at the street corner and untied it. And some of those standing there said, what are you doing untying the colt? The disciples replied exactly, please underline this in your mind. They replied exactly as Jesus had instructed them. We have to learn how to follow what God says to a T. A lot of us want to improvise what God is saying. If God is telling you to come to this church, you need to come to this church. I don't care if your uncle owns a church or has a church. Nobody owns a church. Not in America. They're 501c3 nonprofits, and you can't own a church. I don't own this church. You can't never own a church. You can't do it. If you own the church, then you need to give people the tax write-off out of your money. Okay? The government gives you a tax write-off for giving to this church because they want us to help the community. So they give us a 501c3 designation that says that what you give here, you get to write off on your taxes because we're helping the government to help those that are hurting. That's for another day. So they found the colt, just like Jesus said. And when they asked the question, just like Jesus said they were going to ask, they replied exactly what Jesus told them to instruct them to say. And the people let them alone and brought the colt to Jesus, spread their coats on it, and he mounted this little colt. The people gave him a wonderful welcome some throwing their coats, like you saw those brothers throwing their coats down for Jesus, on the street. Others spread out rushes or bushes or limbs from the palm trees that they had cut in the fields, and running ahead, following after, they were calling out, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed or bless the kingdom of God coming from our father David. Hosanna in the highest." All right, that's what's happening then. Jesus went, the next thing he did, he went and entered into the temple. And he looked around, and when he looked around, he saw people, after taking in what was happening, by now it was late, so he went back to Bethany with the 12. And as they left the next day, he was hungry. And off in the distance, he saw a fig tree. By the way, when Jesus went into that temple, he knocked the crooked people out of there. Anyhow, we don't deal with that. It's another chapter, the different verse, different location. We're not going to deal with that part right now. But it says, as they left Bethany, the next day he was hungry, and off in the distance he saw a fig tree in full leaf. And he came up to it, expecting to find something for breakfast. Say breakfast. Say Egg McMuffin. Oh, never mind. Okay. Say breakfast. Okay, say forget Egg McMuffin. Because what he saw because the tree had leaves that it was supposed to have also fruit. But he found nothing but leaves, no figs there. And he addressed the tree. He addressed the tree. He addressed the tree. He addressed the sickness. He spoke to the cancer. He addressed poverty. He addressed the devil coming upon them. He addressed depression. He spoke to the mountain. Whatever your mountain is, we must speak to it. Because Jesus saw a fig tree, he didn't have a McDonald's, Big Mac, order fries, chocolate shake, and an apple pie. All he had was figs to eat. And the tree had the nerve to have leaves and no figs. And Jesus said, "You ain't living no more. I'm so hungry, I don't know what to do. All these rascals around here making me hungry. I have to deal with all these Pharisees, scribes, and Sadducees. They're always arguing with me. I'm hungry. I went to bed early last night. I'm hungry now. My blood sugar level is down. Come on now. What's going on with you?" So he said to the tree, stop talking to everybody else. Stop talking to yourself. Stop even talking to God. Talk to the tree. Talk to the thing that's bugging you. I just cursed sickness and disease off of these people that came here. Oppression, depression, family, confusion from the enemy. All of that stuff, I had to speak to it by the anointing. I knew the anointing was here. What am I going to do with it? Sit there and just feel the goosebumps on my back? No, we have to use the anointing to speak. And God will give you an unction to be able to say, "I believe I receive in Jesus' name. I believe I'm healed." Now, what are you doing? You're operating in faith. We're studying the third thing, have faith in God. This is having faith in God. This is having faith in God. Now, Jesus used his faith now, even though it looks negative. You can, listen, let me just say this. The anointing that we just saw today, there's two sides to it. In flying airplanes, helicopters, whatever, there's a thing called being on the backside of the power curve. To where you're going so fast, or you're going to where you're really out of control. You're not really controlling this thing because you're on the backside of the power curve. You push the thing too much and you really need to get control of it. You need to pull back on the throttle. You need to do something. You need to add some, you know, speed brakes. You need to do something to slow this thing down. And sometimes we can get ourselves running toward the things that are not right and need to slow things down because we don't want to get the results of where we're going. And so God wants us to be able to know that we can use the anointing, we can use the word of God to bless or to curse. That's why, you know, I said it today because it's in me. The Lord told me, don't go, people can try to cuss you out or whatever because they'll do it. They'll give you one finger salutes and all this kind of stuff as you drive. Don't worry about them. Just say back at you. In Jesus' name. You're getting what you just tried to give to me. It's coming back at you and multiply. I'm not going to get up there, you know, and pull out my pistol or nothing. I ain't doing that. I'm not going crazy. I'm not going to go run after you with a baseball bat. Just back at you. What you do to me has to go back to you. Why? Because I have Teflon coating on, as y'all found out last week. I've been coated with Teflon. So things bounce off. Now, you have to use faith to believe that. And if you're not using the word, you're not using faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So whatever we use our faith for in the kingdom of God has to come out of the word of God. And once it comes out of the word of God, we get it inside of us. We have to bring it out of our mouth. Because the first stands or first indication that you have faith is what you say. And you have to train yourself to when things go not the right way, you get the phone call, you get the text, you get the email, you somebody walk up to you and say something that's very troubling. You got to learn how to respond like a soldier. It's got to be automatic. We got to shake you at 3 o'clock in the morning, wake you up and tell you so-and-so, such-and-such. You say, well, by Jesus' stripes, I believe they're healed. I don't care what the report is. Well, they got them in the ambulance right now and they're taking them there. Doesn't look good, Pastor. Doesn't look good. I get these calls. Doesn't look good, Pastor. One person we prayed for today, we're praying for a relative that has a cancerous cell as big as a basketball in their stomach. Now, it's easy to say, well, he's going to enjoy heaven, I hope. No, it's not. We ain't going to. No, what God put in my heart, use the service and the faithfulness of the person that's asking for the prayer as a sacrifice for that person's healing that won't serve God. God knows how to have mercy. See, that's using your faith. That's using your faith. That's using your faith. You got to use your faith. You got to use faith. Now, God still has the final authority on that, but God is going to do what his word says. Now, I only have a couple of moments. Actually, my time is up, but I want to make sure that you get to the gist of what we're saying. Let's go to here now to Mark 11, 23, 24, because Jesus has cursed this tree. The next day he comes by and it's cursed. And Peter says, Shazam, look, God, Jesus, what happened? The tree is cursed. It's like a stick. It has no more life on it. Well, see, if you're not going to produce, what's the use in being here? This is not about a tree. This is about life. We need to be alive and producing. When Jesus needs something, he needed a colt. The colt didn't say, I ain't going, even though it was a donkey. The colt didn't say, you ain't riding me. But some of us would say that. God comes to us, not willing or obedient. We would say, well, I'm not doing it. As I test people, like I just today in this service, and I'm not afraid to say it. I ask people, stand up, because what are you going to do? I mean, do you really stand? Do you? If the president of the United States came in this place and asked you to stand, would you stand? I don't care if you don't like him. You didn't vote for him. You're still going to stand. Or are you going to look like an idiot? I mean, if the judge in your court says, all rise, as he's coming in, you sit down, you're in contempt. You're out of here. Just go to jail and enjoy it. We'll see when you're getting out. Why? Because you didn't honor, see? And see, this is obedience. This is, now, I can understand your legs all up in traction or something like that, and we wheel you in, and I say, all stand. You can't. But we go stand at Walmart. We go to Safeway. If you ride the bus, you get on the bus. You have to get off the bus sometime. You don't stay on the bus all day long. I'm just trying to train you how we can be able to have a jackass spirit, a donkey spirit without knowing it. But we need to be obedient. Now, let me just finish this. Mark 11, 23, 24, please, quickly. I got 30 seconds. Oh, they gave me 3 minutes. Okay, good. Okay. In the morning, he was walking along the road. Now, this is in, let's go to the New King James Version. I need to go back to the scripture. Okay. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Jesus cursed it. He used the same anointing that he did to say, be healed. To say, be cursed. And let me just say this. You want to stay on the good side of that anointing. Because God has the ability to bless your life or to leave your life alone. All he has to do is leave you alone and you're in trouble. It's a blessing we have God in our lives. It's raining curse outside of this building. And as soon as you forget your umbrella, it's going to hit you. And we don't know what the enemy's trying. And God's not raining nothing. He's raining good things. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. James chapter 1, from the Father of light, in whom there's no variableness. He's not sometimey or shadow of turning. You can't even find him with a shadow turning away from what I just said to you. Because every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above. They saw it in the morning. The tree is cursed. Jesus' word worked. And Peter, he's the one, man, what happened, man? The tree is shriveled up overnight. What you doing? Who am I hanging with? You just said something to a tree and the tree listened, ain't even got ears. What are we doing here? Who am I hanging with? Peter, remember, said it withered away. Next verse, look. And then Jesus said, and answered to him, one thing, have faith in God. I have said to people, by tomorrow you're going to have a job. Where's Dwayne? Right there. Then I tell him, you're going to have a house. Hand goes up. Told lady over here, that cancer is not yours. Turned out it was the wrong x-ray for the right person. It wasn't her x-ray. That happened twice to her. When God speaks, have faith in what he says. Have faith in God. Don't have faith in Bob. Don't have faith in job. Even though if you got a job, that don't save you. Because there's a thing called fired layoff. Cut back. Downsize. You got to go. We got to let you go. We love you. We got to let you go. You go now. Just like you came, you go. And what you going to do? You just going to go. You're going to go and look for another job. Because your job is not your source. God is your source. You need to have faith in not job, not in Bob. I don't care if he's your boss. Don't have faith in Bob. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. God will fire Bob. God will help you with a job. God's got all the jobs and Bobs you need. That's what Jesus said. He had faith when he cursed the tree. You know you can have faith to cause a tree to grow. I rest my case. That's all we can do today. I went overtime. Come on, give God some praise. Let's thank God for it in Jesus' name. We know who to have faith in, right? Say it with me. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Turn everybody else off. Close your eyes. Say, have faith in God. Say, have faith in God. Now make it a personal statement. Say, I have faith in God. Say it for the future. Say, I'm going to have faith in God. Say it for right now. Say, I have faith in God now. Say, I'm having faith in God. Say, I'm not having faith in Bob. I'm not having faith in job. I'm having faith in God because God takes care of me. God, help me to expand the measure of faith you gave me from day one. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands once again. Let's get excited and thank God that he is good. Amen.